back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate it. Text line 251-343-0106. We will get to your text here probably in the next segment, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Still to come on the program, we got Arthur Orr coming up at later on in this hour. Also, Chad Robertson, state representative, going to join us. Danny Garrett, the Education Budget Committee Chairman, and we're wrapping up in the 11 o'clock hour with Eagle Forum's Becky Garrettson. So jam-packed show, as always, when we are in Montgomery. But joining us now, State Representative Parker Moore, who I became aware of because you were on the ballot like every few months when I was on in Huntsville, it seemed like. And you endured like, it was almost like a Scott Walker recall situation where you were always having to run for your seat.
It is. So I was actually in a special, and so I wound up running and then in the special and going into a runoff, and so that pushed the general election back. So by the time I got elected in my special, I wound up being in office for 20 days before I had to run again.
You're right.
Hold the seat for 4 years, and so I had 5 elections in 11 months to hold the seat for 4 years. And so Amendment 4 that was on the ballot that year actually did away with that process of going through that special election, and it would just hold off until the next election.
I mean, that was such a I know it was such a tedious thing for you to have to deal with, but essentially you Decatur, it looks like a little south of the Priceville around there, your district, and now Madison, you go into Madison County pretty far. Well, you know, so one of the fastest growing parts of the state.
I do, and I will say I am the only legislator in the state that actually has 4 out of the top 10 largest cities in the state, because I represent a portion, about half the city of Decatur, the southern portion of the city of Madison, and then I've got annexed portions of Athens and Huntsville that I represent as well.
So
it's a very diverse and dynamic district.
Well, here's a question for you that we didn't, the topic, but 565, and I always talk about roads and bridges during when I have these lawmakers on, but we ever going to see it all finished 6 lanes all the way from 65 into Huntsville, you think?
You know, that is the plan, and that is, you know, one of the things that we are advocating for from not only to the governor, but to ALDOT and all interested parties in this, because, you know, like you just said, we are one of the fastest and largest growing areas in the state outside of the Mobile, Baldwin County area. And so that is one of the most frequently asked questions I get from my constituents is, what are you doing to keep up with infrastructure? And right now, our return on investment is about 33 cents on the dollar for what we send out. And so with the projected growth that we're going to be experiencing, that is something that we need to take a serious look at and how we can address that and bring more of those resources in to be able to accommodate the influx of people, and not just people, but the industry that we're experiencing.
I always, when I'm up that way, I always like, they made a little progress since I've been up here last time, but it's 6-lane, 4-lane, 6-lane there. I guess some of the bridges and things like that make it difficult to get finished all the way.
It is. And I think, too, since the Rebuild Alabama Act came in, we've been able to go from 565 interchange up to Triana and expanding that. But we've still got from Triana on down to the ball field area that you've got the 2-lane there. So we're working on getting that extra mile and a half, but one of the biggest critical needs we're seeing is the new flyover bypass there in downtown Huntsville. But even Highway 72 through the Madison-Athens area is getting to be very overburdensome.
Yeah. It was overburdensome 20 years ago, and it's still whatever. When I talked to Tom Butler, that was like his big thing when he ran in 2018 to get that. Yeah,
it's a funny story with that. I actually witnessed him. I was driving with my job going back and forth up there. I was on 72 one day, and there was a gentleman standing out there in the
panhandle in
the median there. And as I get closer, I realized it was Senator Butler, and he had his information cards, his campaign cards, and he was passing them out to people who were stuck in traffic and was working on, you know, trying to get an answer for that problem, you know.
One of the smartest campaign things I've seen. So those of you who are familiar, we are a South Alabama show, but 72 between Athens, well, mostly Madison and Huntsville, just jam-packed all the time. And the state senator, guy who was running at the time for that seat, Tom Butler, he's now the state senator, he's out in traffic like a panhandler handing out these cards. I think that made a big difference in his election.
Yeah, no doubt. We've made some progress on regress, egress, with the entrances and moving some lights around to try and help ease some of that traffic flow so there's not as much stopped. But, you know, it's a challenge, especially when you're dealing with the railroad systems and which go over the road and trying to expand some of that to where you can get through a tunnel and through Athens area. And then all the business that's grown up around there, it's hard to push back to get an additional lane. So it's got its own challenges in that regard, but you know, we are making headway in it.
Let's change gears here. Talk about, you made it a priority for you. Well, some of this AI moving so fast and, you know, it's hard to keep up with. As far as the state of Alabama goes, to kind of get a handle on it, you've kind of led that charge.
Yeah, so this last summer, Representative Matt Woods and I kind of got together and started going over, you know, what we're seeing and what we're hearing from constituents in regards to AI. And he took the charge on addressing the adolescent version of child intent for creating content, sexually explicit content for minors.
Right.
And I kind of tackled that charge in regards to the adults. And so what brought it to my attention, I had a lady in my district that reached out to me, and come to find out she had somebody that worked with her that had secretly been taking pictures and videos of her without her knowledge or consent. And he had actually gone back to his house and created sexually explicit videos for his own purpose. And his wife actually found those on a file on his computer, and come to find out there were over 2,000 images and videos that he had collected over a 2.5-year period.
And that's insane.
Yes. And so she, being very disturbed, you know, she actually turned those over to law enforcement, and law enforcement was the one that came in and notified her because she had no knowledge of it, but there was nothing on the books that could, you know, be addressed to, you know, handle that situation. And so that's what brought this legislation forward.
Well, and, you know, talk about that. Where are we on it? You know, we got that. I think there's all kinds of other AI challenges beyond that we didn't even like, it's just the tip of the iceberg right now.
Yes. Well, and that's one thing I'm continuing to work on one for this next year in relation to professionalism. You know, if somebody came in, you're on the radio every day and someone could come in and capture your image.
Right.
And then they've got your voice all on record. Well, they could come out and draft something that sounds just like you and it looks like you, but it's a false narrative of you coming out and saying something outlandish. Right. Well, you have to go back and work on doing a retraction, which you had no clue to begin with. You know, and it goes to any kind of professionalism from, you know, a law enforcement standpoint. If you're a public information person for them, you take their image and their voice and you portray something out there into the community that's inaccurate, that causes mass chaos and hysteria. What repercussions are from that? And one of the challenges we're facing is, you know, freedom of speech. So where does that lie? You know, identity theft. Are you stealing someone's identity? Well, the thing with that is you don't necessarily get charged for identity theft. You get charged with what you do once you steal that identity. And so we're working around a lot of different avenues.
It's just like name, image, likeness, right? Like somebody were to do that and use it in a way that was untoward, they are kind of violating your personal property.
They are. And one instance that was brought to my attention when we delved into this a little bit more was within this past year, there was a group or entity that had generated a AI voice recording of a young boy that was killed in a shooting, and they captured that boy's voice and put it into a robocall that called federal lawmakers criticizing them on not taking action on gun control. So things like that that we need to look at being addressed. And that's one thing that we're working towards for this next session is how we can craft something within the legal realm of not infringing on people's rights.
I mean, that's where this really could get scary is in the political realm, because that's what it all costs, and that's the nature of the game. But you could start employing artificial intelligence. I'm surprised more folks haven't tried to do that. Even some like rogue actors, not necessarily campaigns or anything, but just, you know, how people get about politics.
Well, there is a bill that I believe Representative Prince Chestnut passed. We passed it out of the House. He championed the effort on it, and I believe it's up in the Senate now. And it is in regards to political campaigns and things like that that will help curb some of that false information and spreading.
Yeah, but you watch it and you see it, and it's a little bit of it's just a little scary, I guess. It's like you said, somebody really had it out for me personally and wanted to direct my radio show, and they could give it a hell of a try with AI, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and then like realizing that there's nothing on the books, what did you come to that realization?
Well, it was this past summer. You know, I had several constituents that reached out to me that brought these issues to my attention, and the more I delved into it, the more I realized around the state that this was becoming more and more of an occurrence, and it's something that needed to be addressed because it's uncharted territory. And so that's what led me and several of my other colleagues to look into addressing some of these issues. And the governor has it just appointed in her State of the State address earlier this year a task force, an AI task force, to study some of these things.
Well, and you feel like you're making good progress there. What else needs to be done beyond what you and Matt Woods have done?
You know, it's ever evolving. You know, it's something that's in uncharted territory, so we're still learning the capabilities of what is out there and what, you know, the future might hold. I was speaking to a youth group the other day, and that was one of their questions to me in regards to AI is, where do you see it impacting the education field? And I said, it's something that we have to look at seriously, because I'm a firm believer in, you know, you have to learn the materials, not rely on extracurricular things for what your knowledge base. And so using like these ChatGPT apps that craft all of your statements into political correct form and all these, I think that, you know, they need to be addressed, because you lose the ability to learn how to do it on your own.
Like GPS almost, and not really, people don't read roadmaps anymore or whatever, and you're just so reliant on artificial intelligence to show you the way, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Representative, you've been very kind with your time here, and we do appreciate you stopping by, but best of luck to you, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Oh, thank you.
That was State Representative Parker Moore there. Let's see. I don't know, Leanna. Dan? Can we go to break early here? We got kind of a rush on the schedule here, if possible, and trying to move some stuff around. If you're out there listening, anyway, I will say this: 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch. Text me. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Darkness no more night.